Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, it's 15 years deep, seven straight finals. How are you doing this in year 15?
I put the work in day in and day out on my body. I'm trying to put myself to be in the best condition I can be in the postseason. So,
Tatum stepped to his left and knocks down a three. Cavs fell asleep defensively. Tatum the rebound. Gallops up the floor. Zips the entry to Baines for the two-hand slam. 7-0 run for the Celtics. Boston by four. Push pass. Back out to Marcus Smart. Going to try a three. It's in the air. It's good. Why? Because LeBron never got back in position defensively.
For watching James the last minute or so, he looked fatigued crossing half court.
In the best condition I could be in.
Tatum, he's got the steal. Tatum catches up to it, drives and scores.
LeBron James had to pull away here. Didn't want to pick up another foul.
Rozier, offensive end, live. Horford throws it down with two hands into the thunderous slam. Kick out Horford, three in the air. Got it.
Ooh, big Al. That's money time.
When it matters most, 15-12 for Al Horford here in game five. Celtics by 17.
LeBron, you mentioned the fatigue thing earlier, but are you into the weather at all in this game?
No. I'm fine. And I didn't mention the fatigue either.
LeBron lobs it up ahead looking for Nance, and it's knocked away by Marcus Morris. And he stares Nance down, and Nance hits him from behind. Morris shoves him back with the left hand.
Did Morris say something to him as he threw out the barrel?
Kick out to Morris. Left side, he's going to rock a three over Kevin Love, and he drills it. How's that for basketball justice? Marcus Morris throws a wink at Jaylen Brown.
You guys have been watching LeBron James a couple of times, certainly on the bench. And you both think he looks a little tired.
Not a little tired. He looks exhausted to me.
Point of pride for LeBron James not to show any kind of fatigue, hands on his waist, bending over, which we have seen to the point that she believes he's tired as well, so the guys are on point.
How fitting would this be if Tatum could finish with a splash, and he does. A 24-point night. Jason Tatum dominates game five, and the Boston Celtics are one game away from the NBA Finals, 96-83.
LeBron, you mentioned the fatigue thing earlier, but were you into the weather at all in this game?
No. I'm fine. And I didn't mention the fatigue either.
That ain't five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bill Simmons.
Oh, I should mention this real quick, though. We have just now on sale. We've kind of been rolling these out throughout the different shows. I know that Felger and Maz had their shirt that came out, and it sold out really quick. Well, we finally got ours. The Toucher and Rich Hey Guys Hey t-shirt, and now officially on sale. If you go to our Twitter account, at Toucher and Rich, or you go to our Facebook page, it's got links to it, or you can go to 98.5sportshub.com. But finally, been waiting for a shirt. Here we go. Hey, guys. Hey, it is officially there. I know these things sell out pretty quick because we don't make a ton of them. So if you'd like to buy them, they are now officially on sale. So there you go.
I don't think they can sell out. I think they're kind of made to order.
Well, I mean, the first order. So you have to actually wait. Like, I mean, they do have to do that. I mean,
but they're not going to sell out. There's no possible way they could sell out.
Well, no, they do.
Inconceivable because they make them to order.
Well, understood, but you'll have to wait a while until you get a second order. No, they don't make them to order. Not these. They order them in batches. They've done that.
Yeah, but
you'll have to wait like a couple weeks so you can get it again.
Well, they'll have to sit there and suffer through that incredible wait time.
Okay, just if you want one now, you can order it now before it sells out.
Hurry, while they last. The Hey Guys Hey shirts, on sale now. Bill Simmons is a man who has overvalued his standing in Boston, I believe, quite a bit. I can't speak of it. I mean, he was actually, he grew up in the metro Boston area. I cannot say the same for myself, but I can safely say that Bill Simmons believes that he is much more popular than he is. I will say that right now. And he is also someone who believes that chanting at games and that people are going to look at his Twitter and go, oh, hey, you can chant here. Oh, look, hey, everybody, I'm at the game. And look, Bill Simmons wants us to chant. These are great ideas. He also is someone who believes that this would get in someone's head.
Mm-hmm.
That he could chant, and that a NBA player would go, "Oh my God, the whole crowd is going nuts." Can you imagine thinking that 19,000 people are going to be reading your chants and they're going to go like, "Wow, Bill Simmons is in the build." First of all, he's in the building, which is huge. You got to make that announcement right away that you're in town. Bill Simmons, who had a TV show on HBO for 5 minutes, is in the building. Can you imagine? So yesterday, he tweets, "I'm in Boston and the sun is shining. The entire city is preparing to battle LeBron." And that's true. The city was on pins and needles yesterday. No one could stop talking about it. It was electric. "The sun's shining, baby, and the city's abuzz. Everyone's talking." And he then lays out possible chance for the game last night. And I don't know if he's lost his mind. I don't think this is ironic. But his chants are, "You're a baby."
Mm-hmm. These are like not even... Like, boy, how awful do you feel if you tweet this? These aren't even imaginative.
This is,
"You're a baby" is the first one he comes out of the gate with?
If it was a satire of an idiot, then you would be like, "Oh, this is clever." But I truly believe he's being sincere. Bill Simmons thinks that he is such a superstar and such a Boston guy that he can just get the entire crowd going nuts. That everyone is so interested mm-hmm. in what he has to say. "You're a baby."
Yeah.
Because no one would have ever thought about that. Again, my 7-year-old daughter, her softball team comes up with chants. That's what they do. 19,000 adults are going to sit there doing this. Now, Rich, if you don't know,
mm-hmm.
the second one is, "Please stop crying."
I mean, it's the worst. If this was a Onion
yes.
article, I would believe it. I would say this is like a parody of somebody like Bill Simmons.
I mean, he
"Please
sucks.
Stop crying."
He sucks. Like, this just is odd. Like, how could you be friends with him? Like, this is the kind of thing that ruins relationships. Like, how could you be friends with this guy after that?
You know what? I'm even shocked for Bill Simmons that he would put that out there. Like, I mean, those are horrendous, horrendous.
I mean, can you imagine if you were out, like you're about to go to a Celtics game, and you're out, mm-hmm. and your friend, like you're with five guys, and one of your friends brings out a piece of paper and he goes, "All right, dudes, we're going to start some chants tonight." First of all, you'd be like, "I'm leaving." It's just at the very idea that he was going to start chants, like, "Guys, we're going to get LeBron's head tonight," and you'd be like, "Okay. We're so not friends anymore." like I don't want to sit by you. I don't want to do anything with
right.
you.
Let's just say chants were cool. Let's just, for argument's sake, say chants are a super cool thing.
I can't but even
just,
do it.
Just for a moment, get out of your right. universe.
So they Let's open up the piece of paper.
And they're the greatest. Let's say they're the coolest thing in the world. I bet I could bring Bird in here, and he could think of three chants that are way yeah, funnier and I'm, way more clever than "You're how about, a baby." How about "Where's Delonte?"
Or how about
anytime you can bring up Delonte?
F. LeBron. Sure. I mean, just swear.
Well, right. I mean, that's what happened with J.R. Smith yesterday.
Right, exactly. And that was more clever than any of this.
And then they got scolded by Sean Grandy last night.
Sean Grandy doesn't like it because he gets
like
picked
that.
Up by it's ambient noise on the mic. So, and then your friend, like, unfurls the paper, like, and he goes, "All right, check it out. The five of us, we're going to turn, like, to the crowd. You're a baby."
I'm in. I got this
and
one,
like,
guys.
"Dude, are you sure you want to do this? I mean, this could blow up. Do you think they'll let us in the... Do you think they'll kick us out? You're a baby. My Lord. Please stop crying."
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
Yeah, because is he...
When he commits a foul, he cries about the call. That is my belief.
Well, okay. Fantastic.
What he is.
And then he goes, "You're not MJ."
Oh,
This is a guy who is a multimillionaire.
He writes for a living,
no,
does he not?
He's a multimillionaire based on his writing ability, you would think. He sucks. This is, he just sucks.
I mean,
you can't be friends with him.
He wrote for, like, Kimmel.
Yeah.
Like, the guy, at one point in his life, obviously had a little bit of an idea of what's going on. And the idea that he thinks that he's, like, this Boston icon that can just walk around. I mean, we've had him on the show. Never again. Then he goes, you will leave. You will leave.
Well, it's kind of a given. I think everyone pretty much, even Cleveland fans, I think.
Well, regardless, it's still that. It's not... And then, but then he, Rich, he has to hand it to LeBron. I mean, he's come up with these crazy ideas, and he knows that, hey, look, I know I'm a little bonkers.
I'm living on the edge here a little bit.
Like, yeah, listen, you know, so shoot me, you know, like I'm fired up just like everyone else in town. The sun's shining and everyone's all revved up. And he goes, crap, you're right. He's a machine. None of this will work.
No,
please don't eat today.
Not you, LeBron.
I mean, crap, you're right, guys. Anyone else, it just gets in their head. Because then can you imagine the frustration if you're at the game and you see Bill Simmons' tweet and you're like, yeah, let's do these chants. And then at the end, he lets you down. He says, they're not going to work. Wait a second, Simmons. You had me hook, line, and sinker. And now you're coming after me with the, it's not going to work.
I mean,
you're a baby.
I don't think Rick Riley would have tweeted something as bad as that.
No.
Like this is like complete lack
of. He is Rick Riley. He is like a 10 years younger Rick Riley.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is Rick Riley level. Oh, man.
Oh, the mighty have fallen.
So he has done this. I can't tell you anything. I honestly can't tell you anything he's written because I don't. Anything on a computer that looks like the size of the articles that he writes is just too daunting. Didn't you buy like his book of basketball and like you couldn't get on the plane?
No. I didn't buy it. I went to go buy it because I do like some of his, or I did like some of his basketball writing. And I was like, okay, he's got this new book of basketball. I'm going on a trip, so I'm going to buy it before I get on the plane. And it was like the size of like four Bibles put together. It was enormous.
Yeah, they would
and
have
I couldn't
to, like,
put it on the plane.
They would have to even out the weight of the plane.
Right.
Chris, go ahead.
Chris.
I'm here. You got to have some good dirt on Simmons you can unleash. The guy is the biggest lush, most offensive, narcissistic, like, loggeria sociopath.
Loggeria? That's a new word I like.
What is loggeria?
He's Greg Easterbrook's protege.
Diarrhea with logs.
No, he said bloggeria.
Oh, I thought he said loggeria. He said loggeria.
No.
That's a great word.
Am I wrong? He's out of his mind, correct?
Yes, he is. I don't know who's financing the Ringer. No one reads it.
Nope.
I know guys who work there.
Yeah, no one reads it. That you're absolutely right.
They have 100 podcasts. They're putting stuff on TV on like end rate nothing, vid clips. I don't know who's financing it. No one is paying attention to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, HBO made a gigantic error.
Hey, guys, I got one. I got one, ready? Queen James.
That's
Queen James.
So, I guess, and I know
you're not the king.
Yeah, I know that we're right. hang on one second. I just got to do these real quick.
Okay.
I guess it goes. Before he's done this before, and he goes, speaking of fans, here are three chants I want to hear at the New Garden Tuesday night. All right, guys, the Sim Man wants to hear this. 17 batters. I want to hear that for the entire 30 minutes leading up to the game. I don't have to explain what it means. Okay, Bill. Is that what you want to hear? You effing jackass. Is that really what you want to hear? Yeah. Let's get there early and really rip it up. Overrated. Overrated. That's for every time Kobe shoots a free throw. I think it would bug him. Potentially cause him to jack up 20 jumpers in a row.
Would put something in his craw.
By the way, that choice narrowly edged out. Pierce is better, and no one likes you.
No one likes you.
We can smell it. We can smell it. Only if we're up double digits in the fourth quarter, and only then. Oh, Bill Simmons, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. That, to me, is loggeria. Diarrhea with logs.
When your bowels can't make up their mind.
Yeah.
So you get the best of both worlds.
All right. We will be back.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Push pass back out to Marcus Smart. Going to try a three. It's in the air. It's good. Why? Because LeBron never got back in position defensively. And Ty Lue will call timeout.
That's a big swing. You lose two and you give up three. That's a 5-point swing. Let me do the math. Like Jer Clapp, I used to do with Jeffro Bodine.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Whoa.
I have no idea.
The best, well, it's obviously a
Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies, yeah. Reference. And Jethro, by the way, very interesting offset. Huh. I believe he was involved in those, like, orgies that the dude from...
the guy Autofocus. He was on Hogan's Heroes. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Jethro had something going on.
Okay.
I don't know if he was involved in those particular orgies.
Was there a math, like, part of the... Was there a joke in the Beverly Hillbillies that Jethro...
Cedric Maxwell has sat in this room and openly admitted that he says things that he has no idea why he's saying.
That's why Cedric Maxwell's fantastic.
No, he's
unapologetic.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Bert, I appreciate you putting it up, and I want you to put everything up, but I don't think that I'm going to take Rob. Fred, your shirt sucks, and those shirts suck as well. Please, but I want you to put every call up I do, but I just...
Is it like your shirt today?
Let's find out what he's got going on. Rob, go ahead.
I feel like you're peddling to the audience with your, like, well-groomed hair and your pink shirt today.
Because of yesterday when we posted picture.
We were going to Capitol Grill with Mike Gorman, so I had to dress...
I also had a comment on the shirt you were putting out, because I hate those as well.
Why now? Why do you hate those?
Well, just because I feel like I would buy anything with Pasta Joe all over it. But if you gave me like some Fritos and burritos or something, I would take it.
Like Fritos, like if you had one, just
Fritos
like,
and beef,
and then on the very back of it, when you turn around, would you say
and cheese?
But in like tiny letters,
yeah,
just to,
yeah.
Recreate the way he said it.
That could happen.
Yeah.
That could happen.
We actually gave the people like 11 different shirt designs. And this is the one that the most people wanted. And I like it too. I'll wear it. But
I saw someone wearing a Felger and Mav shirt.
Yep.
At Buff's Pub on Sunday. And they were wearing it with pride.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You can wear get your Toucher and Rich shirts now at 98.5thesportshub.com. Brian Robb is the Celtics beat writer for BostonSportsJournal.com. He joins us in studio. Now, Brian Robb, what is the deal with LeBron James? Do you believe he was sick last evening?
No, I don't.
You don't?
See,
I'm with you
because I can't tell the difference between what he did in Game 1 and what he did last night. And even Wallach's like, no, I wasn't sick in Game 1. I just think that there was a narrative that was put out there by the media that, oh, something's obviously wrong with LeBron. There are certain games where he just doesn't decide that he wants to try hard.
Game 5?
Yeah, well, Game 1.
Eastern Conference Finals?
Who cares? It's the playoffs. You should never play that way, but he does.
Game 5 is different. It is. It's different.
Well, if you win that Game 5, you win the series.
Exactly.
Okay, well, tell me this. Let's say you are sick. Couldn't you find yourself a way to play through that? LeBron James, I mean, some of the greats have done this. I mean,
Bill
LeBron
Simmons
James,
is right. He's not MJ.
Well, he isn't MJ. That is right. He did not have the flu game. But
no, maybe people did indeed, Shannon, and it just got his spirits all down.
It could have. It could have crushed him. We got him on wall.
Alchemist was too much.
Why do you think he's not sick?
I mean, he made a lot of tough shots in that game if he was sick. So I think it's just a matter of, like, I think he's tired. I think the Celtics have kind of worn him down over the course of the series. The fact that they didn't have, you know, 3 days off in the middle of the series to kind of recharge his batteries here now, you know, they're just traveling between each of the games. And then when your teammates are giving you nothing, you know, I think it's, you know, frustrating for him. And I think he saw that that game was kind of hopeless as it wore on in the second half there. And, you know.
And he just checked out.
He's
done that before in the past. He's checked out. And it's kind of shocking because we all know that at any moment LeBron can turn a game around if he just takes it over. And even Mark Jackson was saying last night, LeBron doesn't need to be depending on anybody else right now if he wants us to turn this around. He's got to be the guy. And it wasn't just because everyone else was a no-show. It's because that's what he does best. He takes over a game in the playoffs, and you can't stop him. He does that thing where he drives it right to the hole, and he gets everybody in foul trouble because he gets all the calls, and it changed the complete momentum of the game. Yet he did not do that last night.
No, and that's and the question is, can he do that in a Game 7 in Boston? And that's, again, I think the last time, I'll have to look this up, I think the last time he lost a Game 7 was 10 years ago in Boston. So it's kind of crazy to think, you know, 10 years later, that might be his situation again.
Is the problem with both of these teams being so dependent on being at home? Because, I mean, Walk, you said that it was 9 points was the closest game?
Yeah, it was Game 4.
Okay, 9 points. So, I mean, it's been pretty drastic how well in each team has played as opposed at home as opposed to on the road. Do you believe with the Celtics it's because of youth, and because of the Cavaliers it's because they're old? It's almost like the two ends of the spectrum kind of lean towards taking nights off or not being inspired or maybe being intimidated on the young side of things.
I mean, I just think this is just something, Rich, it's the NBA playoffs. It's just how it goes with, you know, guys. I mean, the Celtics, outside of Jason Tatum, everyone, the split, the home road splits on the Celtics are even more drastic than half the Cavs roster. So whatever it is, whether it's just, you know, the energy of the crowd, whether it's just the comfort of shooting in your home arena, you know, no one can really put their exact finger on what it causes it, but this is a thing that has been consistent with these Celtics during the Brad Stevens era, like last year against the Wizards, obviously, this year now, and now, I mean, if one other person can be trusted to show up on the Cavs, then that would be something the Celtics have to worry about in Game 7, but, you know, they just haven't shown that yet.
Give me some faith. I'm sorry, John. Yeah. Give me some faith that the Celtics can win Game 6 on the road. From what you've seen of the last two games, is there anything you've seen that makes you think that Game 6 will be different than Games 3 and 4?
I think the most encouraging part for that, for the Celtics, is that Tatum has been consistently showing up on the road, too. He's the one guy, he's averaging more on the road than he is at the Garden during this postseason. And so Brad Stevens had a new game plan in Game 5, I feel like, was just, you know, we're leaving Tatum in for the entire first quarter. We're not, like, subbing him out early. We're not, like, going into one of these early lulls. And I feel like they're going to do that again, kind of just hand him the keys to the car, if you will, and be like, all right, we're going to kind of ride you, and hopefully you can, you know, steal us a win out there.
Isn't the other part of it, though, the way they played the final three quarters of Game 4, where they stuck around? I mean, they really had the opportunity to give up and get blown out again. It didn't look good in the first quarter. They spent the rest of the night trying to scrap their way back in it, and they were within sight with about 6 or 7 minutes to go in Game 4. And I look at these young guys and the fact that they really played hard and well in the second half. They didn't give up. They were there. Don't you think that can translate into a good start on Friday?
Yeah, no question about it, John. I mean, that was, I think, a confidence builder on that front. They won all three of those quarters.
Yeah.
Looking back at it, they squandered a lot of opportunities. They had, you know, they were getting stops. They held the Cavs to, I think, like 44 points in the second half or something like that. And then they just were taking, you know, Terry Rozier was taking bad shots. Marcus Smart was taking bad shots at bad times. And then they, you know, kind of squandered it away. They cleaned things up in Game 5. And, you know, they say, okay, if we just do that and without the, you know, falling apart in the first quarter, you know, we can give ourselves a chance here.
All right, so I guess we got to take a break.
We will. All right. 617-779-0985, Brian Robb in studio. Here are the headlines.
Tencher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, initially he's been putting Olajay in, so that's been kind of Kyle's matchup when he comes in the game. But he didn't play him tonight, so, you know, it kind of, you know, threw us for a loop. But we got Bron out with 2.5 minutes, and at the start of the fourth, he wasn't ready to go. So, you know, same thing happened game, I think, 1 or 2, I can't remember.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, Brian Robb, Celtics beat writer, BostonSportsJournal.com.
That is my favorite answer from Tyronn Lue. I'm sitting there watching the first quarter, and I'm going, all right, where's Kyle Korver? When are they going to put him in? He was one of the best players on the court in Game 4. The guy has been riding a hot hand, and yet I have not seen him at all. And I'm starting to think, well, I wonder if he's injured. I wonder if he's sick. But the whole time, I didn't realize the genius, the mastermind that is Tyronn Lue. He said, we were just waiting for Semi Ojeleye to get in the game for us to put in a guy who might have been able to do something offensively for this team in the first quarter. What we all underestimate any kind of jokes that are made about Tyronn Lue not being a good coach. I think that just negated all of it. I think we now realize that he is at a Popovich level, and we're all playing checkers while he's playing chess.
Yeah, he was he likes that defensive matchup. He didn't just want to throw Korver out there to shoot threes. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, so I uh, I didn't realize this until about the fourth quarter, but it's pretty obvious why the Celtics won the way they did. Did anyone notice Kelly the Clinical Linux sitting right behind the bench?
He did. That's right. He was there. He was actually in the pregame with Kyle Draper and Scal beforehand.
Yeah,
I missed that. I love the backwards hat. It looks so dumb. I think it was probably the most productive thing he's done as a Celtic or post-Celtic, I suppose.
Well, listen, he's got a huge future in TV with that face. He's gonna. I mean, your female demos go through the roof.
I think maybe that was like when anyone like you know J.R. Smith was about to take a shot. They just saw his head and they went, "Hey, yeah."
Eric, go ahead.
Hey guys.
Hey, what's up?
I have an important question for you guys. So, if the Celtics win, you guys gonna enjoy a nice grilled dog slice?
I mean, listen, is this Robert Kraft calling in? A nice hot dog sliced? I would want one of those. I mean,
that's cool with me.
That'd be pretty fantastic.
That is absolutely true. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Jeffrey.
Hey, is Jeff calling to defend chanting?
Okay, go ahead and defend chanting.
All right, I think Boston is a chanting town. I have evidence by it. I have 9 chants here.
Okay, you're the guy with the list, aren't you?
His phone is much better.
Just give us your one
no,
best.
No. Give us 20.
Margo, Foxy Lady.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's awesome.
All right, Just Say No. That was a great one. Just Say No. Just Say No.
Yep.
I don't know what that's from.
Daryl's got 2. Squish the Fish. Beat LA. It's a chanting town.
See You Sunday. Another great Celtic one.
This is all Yankees suck, obviously. That's
great. Yeah. I love
it. When you ride into Boston, it says it's a chanting town.
Yeah.
Was that Bill Simmons in disguise?
That's right. It's an entering. You do that on the Mass Pike. You say entering Massachusetts, home of the chanting.
John, do you realize that Bill Simmons was in Boston and the sun was shining and the entire city was preparing to battle LeBron?
I was not aware of that. I mean, where I was, we weren't preparing at all.
I couldn't even take a nap.
I was out in the suburbs, though, so I wasn't in Boston proper.
No, you got to walk into Boston and feel the electricity.
That was my problem.
It was, and everyone's like, where to turn? Bill Simmons, all your chance rule.
I need to play you something, apparently, I've been told. I have not heard this yet either, but Brian Robb is in studio with us from the Boston Sports Journal. This is a call from last night. Cedric Maxwell, Sean Grandy. I have not heard it. All I know is that Mike Lockhart said, you need to play this. So let's take a listen.
Not only does Jaylen Brown know it, everybody in green and white smells it, and the ball is headed there.
No. Not only green and white. Everybody who knows the basketball knows that, again, when you're on the Serengeti and you got that Elm Olympic. I saw something the other day. It was horrifying. You'd love this. A zebra was born. All the stuff on him.
Placenta and all that other.
Lion comes over. And this lady starts crying. She's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Shouldn't have won safari, honey. Should have stayed home.
We'll just go back to the Eastern Conference Finals now. The Celtics now off by 17.
That's it.
That's the max.
We've reached peak. Right. Cedric Maxwell.
That's fantastic.
Dan heard it live. All right, so here. He says a word that's not in the English language.
Well, first of all, you heard that live, Dan?
Yes, I was driving. I was driving home late last night, and I heard it. All of a sudden, I looked down at the radio. I'm like, wait a minute. Did he just say the lion came and snatched zebra away from the mother?
Is there anything we are missing as far as context?
No, because the pause.
Concerned.
No, and then the pause from Grandy was perfect. And he's like, "Hey, back to the Eastern Conference Finals."
Cedric Maxwell had watched a nature special.
Yep,
and it popped into his mind, so he started talking about it.
Well, let's go.
Not only does Jaylen Brown know it, everybody in green and white smells it, and the ball is headed there.
No. Not only green and white, everybody who knows the basketball knows that, again, when you're on the Serengeti and you got that Elm Olympic. I saw something the other day. It was horrifying. You'd love this. A zebra was born. All the stuff on him.
Placenta and all that other.
Lion comes over. And this lady starts crying. She's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Shouldn't have won safari, honey. Should have stayed home.
We'll just go back to the Eastern Conference Finals now, with the Celtics now up by 17.
And then Cedric being amazed that the lion would eat the zebra because it was covered in all the placenta.
The greatest thing about
the whole point of the story is how gross it is that it ate the zebra because it was still covered in the placenta.
The best thing about all that is there's plays going on in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's during the game. That's not coming back from a commercial. That's
Eastern
not during a timeout.
Conference finals.
That's not during a review. I mean, that was a complete...
I like turtles.
That was an I like turtles moment. Yeah. I'm just going to say words, things that happen to just pop my head randomly. And there was a lion that came over and ate a zebra covered in placenta. Yep. That is as maximum Cedric Maxwell as you could possibly get. You won't be able to touch that. He'll try. He won't get more random than that.
Well, perhaps he'll watch a special on something else.
Maybe. But is there anything that's going to be more strange than tuning into the radio and hearing the color guy for the Celtics saying, I watched a lion eat a baby zebra covered in placenta?
If he was like, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer was killed in prison, he would eat people.
Did he say Animal Olympic?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he might have tried to say Animal Instincts, but Animal Olympic. I believe is the word that came out there.
Well, Brian, Rob, I'm glad you came in.
Glad you're here
for
this.
I'm glad I heard that. That was worth coming in for. That's right.
I
will ask you one more question. I'm sorry. The one thing that I thought was a great move by Brad Stevens was that he put in Aaron Baines at the beginning of the game. And we had talked about him possibly doing that even yesterday morning. And I think that set the tone. Aaron Baines came out, got the rebounds. Defensively, he was excellent
Morris
at the beginning of the game.
Morris still played a lot of minutes. Morris is out there 37 minutes last night.
He did, but they got a lot more out of Baines. And to set the tone the way that he did at the beginning of the game, I thought was an excellent move. You obviously see them continuing with that because of the success that they had.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Tristan Thompson, just one offensive rebound, to your point, Rich. Three offensive rebounds total for the Cavs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Baines was there shot blocking, too. He had a couple of stuffs with George Hill. You know, just got the easy putbacks. Kind of just, he knew his role, played, you know, in his lane on both ends of the floor, and clearly played the most minutes of the series, and I expect that to continue as the Seas try to close this thing out.
Yeah, he was excellent. And I think it's the first game within, like, since game one that they out-rebounded. By the way, the Celtics shot horribly last night. Didn't they only have, like shot, like, what, 35% or something like that? They still ended up winning?
37%.
Right? They were atrocious, and I think a lot of that, like, I think they actually had a decent number until Marcus Smart just started chucking up threes at the end and kept missing. And Rozier was 1-for-9 or something at one point.
Yeah, he started, I think, 1-of-12. The backcourt, starting backcourt, went 7-of-30.
Yeah.
Won that game by double digits.
The magic potion's wearing off. Something's off with Rozier. Well, or he was just spooked by Kelly Olynyk in the front row.
Or you could eat a baby zebra that's covered with placenta.
Well, it's an Animal Olympic.
Well, Brian Robb's been on safari. He's seen worse. Brian Robb, Celtics beat writer, bostonsportsjournal.com. Thank you for the time, sir.
Of course, yes. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie. Let's go.
Push pass back out to Marcus Smart. Going to try a three. It's in the air. It's good. Why? Because LeBron never got back in position defensively. And Ty Lue will call timeout.
That's a big swing. You lose two and you give up three. That's a 5-point swing. Let me do the math. Like Jay Clapp, I used to do with Jeffro Boateng.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're a toucher and Rich. You don't see too much of the Beverly Hillbillies anymore.
I hope he never leaves. Now the fact that Cedric Maxwell's in the studio, too, and just straight up admitted that none of that means anything. There's no hidden basketball meaning. There's no phrase that we used to use and we used to play that I'm throwing out there for the layman. It's just words. Random words that I say because we work in sound bites.
Right, and he says that there's very little preparation that goes into it because, again, his job is to react.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of time. So when you have that short amount of time, your job is to fill it with however you can.
Well, that's why he loves Wallach because, you know, he was saying that Wallach shows up with like suitcases full of stats and materials. He's like,
saddlebags.
All right. Someone's going to do my job for me. I just can sit back here and talk about afterbirth.
Yep. We spent a good part of a third quarter during a game last year talking about whether or not lions or hippos kill more humans each year.
Why? It was hippos.
It was. I got it wrong. I said lions, and I got it wrong, and he spent 4 minutes of game time describing how hippos managed to snatch humans off like riverbanks and things like that in the Serengeti.
So he's very into the Serengeti.
Yeah, he's into the National Geographic Channel.
Okay.
Is what he is.
So what he'll do is he'll go on the road and he'll just turn on the National Geographic Channel.
I would think, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah.
Okay. Does he doesn't go out with anyone.
Does he? Is he?
I do not see him out with anyone on the road. No.
Is he a guy that stays in the hotel, or is he a guy that knows someone in every city?
I think he knows people in certain cities, but there are times where he just stays in the hotel. Yes.
Okay. Just in his room.
I believe so. Yes.
Do you go out?
Mike Gorman's been very nice to invite me out. Remember when Gorman sat here and they on the road, he goes out with his production crew. When I've been on the road with them, he's been very nice at inviting me along.
Do you ever see any players out and about?
Yeah, every once in a while. Actually, in Detroit, it was Olynyk and I forget who else. They were out out walking around one day. But no, I don't usually see a lot of the players when I'm out.
Okay. They kind of stick to themselves?
Yeah.
All right.
We're just out there getting loaded?
No, I did not see that. No,
no, Olynyk wasn't getting wasted.
No, he had a babe on each arm. Come on, Fred.
Do you have the autograph seekers at your hotel?
Yes.
Okay, so they stand there and they hound you guys.
Have they ever thought you were a player?
No, that is not. Oh, that's never happened. Believe it or not,
I don't. Not that.
You should just go up and grab their stuff and start signing it.
I'm signing this. Damn it! Stand still.
No, just like act like you're like a player.
5'11", 175 pounds.
Well, sure.
Of course.
You know, listen, there's been anomalies. You know, Spud Webb's a tiny guy. He went out there and he was a star.
Sure.
You know, I can't really think of anyone as
Muggsy Bogues, 5'3". No one is frail. No.
No, you should go out there and you should say, I'm the fill-in announcer for the radio broadcast of the Boston Celtics, sure. And I'll sign that for you right now.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Bird was out at the TD Garden yesterday, and he was talking to people out there. And we will have that for you coming up in just a matter of moments. I would imagine people very excited to be at the big event, as Bill Simmons explained in his tweet to get people saying things such as, you're a baby, and please stop crying. He said that he was in Boston, the sun was shining, and the entire city was preparing to battle LeBron. And then, you know, when the city's prepared to battle LeBron, I mean, to the victors go the spoils. So I can only imagine the scene out in front of TD Garden, and maybe Bill Simmons was out there too.
Maybe.
Furiously transcribing more ideas for Chance. There'll be no commercials here, just the headlines.